Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Minneapolis. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from where we live. It's Sunday, May 31st, 2020. My guests today are three of the greatest in the game. What game? I don't know. From the worlds of comedy, sports, satellite radio, and cable TV, it's Amy Miller, Dan Soder, and Greg Wyszynski.
Yay!
Yay!
Hi, guys.
Everyone's a yay. It's a yay time.
I always hate that part because I know that even if you all were super pumped and super excited, it just still sounds like, you know, like a scene on the Muppet Show where there's three or four Muppets that are happy about something.
Yeah. We should play an applause track right after the intro.
Yeah, we could like get that kind of shit together, but by the time I figure that out, how to make that happen, you know, podcasts will be open again, and we'll be allowed to make them in pairs or groups of three.
Sure, hope so.
I mean, I think we can already we can already just show up somewhere and record a podcast. I guess there's no real rules against doing that, other than it discourages you from, you know, interacting with people you don't dwell with.
The cool thing is that I do a lot of interviews for like hockey stuff, and now all the radio stations that have been shitting on podcasts and how technically inefficient we are for the last like 5 years are all now recording from their own basements. So I feel like the playing field is finally even between us and regular radio.
We got them. Just took a pandemic. It just took tens of hundreds of thousands of people dying. But we fucking got them. You hear that, Mike and the Mad Dog? Eat a dick.
Like, I don't want to say it was worth it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you made up Mike and the Mad Dog, right?
No, that was a sports show on NEW. I forget what it was on. It's a New York.
WFAN.
WFAN. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
It is treated as the first like super popular sports talk radio show that everybody then copied, kind of like the Howard Stern effect, right? Like everybody was trying to do the Mike and the Mad Dogs. It had to be one dude's name and then a nickname was the format for all sports talk radio then.
Yeah. Maybe you could do that, Doug. It could be like Doug and the Kangaroo. And you're like, what's this about? it's just a movie podcast.
Let's let's meet you guys individually and alphabetically, starting with Amy Miller and her god.
Hi.
Hi,
someone
Amy.
Just knocked on my front door. It was very alarming. That's why I went away. Not just the sports talk is the reason that I went away.
We had no idea you went away.
Okay, good. Perfect.
It was all sports the entire time you were gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like anybody coming anywhere near my front door. Otherwise, I'm doing great. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So the podcast is called Who's Your God?
Yes.
And, you know, what do you think right now? Has he or she been taking some time off or something?
You know, it's funny. This Christian singer just came out today and said that he no longer believes in God. And it was big news in the contemporary Christian music community.
Whoa. Wow, I can't believe that he said that and he came out today.
He goes, and now that that's out of the way, I got some stuff to say.
It was really muffled. I mean, it was already a dick in his mouth when he said it. So
He had to take it out to make the announcement. He goes,
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'd love to have you on to ask you these questions, Doug.
Yeah, I'd do almost anything that you wanted me to do, but I've been, you know, kind of kicking that can down the road because it's not really a topic that I'm that excited about.
Of course.
But also, I guess that's interesting. I don't know. It just feels like you talk to a lot of comedians who probably don't really have much God in their life.
You'd be surprised. A lot of them have secret God that they don't talk about in the green room.
There's Pete Holmes, but who else?
No, he talks about it a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the open ones. Well, Dan Soder, of course, is also here, and he's very open about his Mormonism.
Oh, I was going to say, I kneeled before the great Odin. I go back to the war gods.
Oh, all right.
I'm just living my life until I can finally walk to Valhalla.
You're a hipster for gods.
I like a god with a good microbrew and possibly a unicycle.
I haven't picked a god because I'm vetting a few options.
Yeah, well, try Steve. Steve,
I'm
the god's
looking into
cool.
Several different gods and just making, you know, just seeing, checking some boxes and making sure that what they are into lines up. And it's hard to find one that matches, you know, matches your thing. Like, I need one that understands how important Pop-Tarts are.
Yeah, well, I
what
heard.
What kind?
any kind but plain.
Oh, cinnamon brown sugar is my thing.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Nissan's got a god to remember. All June, you can get god that likes Pop-Tarts.
Doug, it sounds like your god might be Kellogg, now that I hear this being spelled out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was born in a manger in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Dude, the three wise men? Wait, a Rice Krispies Kellogg?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Man, I still can't believe Crackle gave me all that myrrh. Where did Crackle find myrrh?
Tony the Tiger is the Holy Spirit.
Oh, snap. So Greg Wyshynski is here. Hey, Greg, how is the world of hockey coping with this pandemic? Are there going to be games with nobody in the stands or some shit like that?
That's exactly what it's going to be. And in fact, hockey just this past week came back with their plan to come back and play games. It's going to be like 24 teams in like a playoff. And everybody was stunned that like hockey got their shit together before baseball and football did to come out with a plan. And also because hockey's more famous for like canceling their seasons than actually playing their seasons. So it was a good moment. Is it going to happen? I don't know. The players haven't actually said that they feel comfortable coming back and playing in a global pandemic, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, there might be hockey this summer in August when everybody's thinking about hockey.
I heard that the virus, you know, you can't spread it on ice.
Well, it's an interesting sport to come back and play during a pandemic because all these guys do is like spit on each other. There's one dude on the Boston Bruins who was famous for licking the faces of other players to agitate them. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's occasionally in hockey a fight, which would also be sort of not something you want to do when socially distancing. So hockey not really tailor-made for these pandemic times, but they're going to come back and play it in some way, shape, or form.
But they're used to having the crowd really spread apart, so that's nice.
That's true. That's why the Florida Panthers are the favorite to win the Cup this year, because, you know, no one comes to see them. This is very true.
They should have sticks that are 6 feet long, and then that way they all know when they're too close to each other.
Now, fun fact, Doug, in Canada, that was actually the example they were using on signs at parks to let people know how far away they should be from the person in front of them on a height. Is it literally was a picture of a hockey stick, and it's like, you know, a hockey stick will be this far away from the guy in front of you. And that's actually what they did in Canada. It's crazy.
Canadian distancing is so funny.
They go, his front leg.
some of the germs can stay a long time, like delicious maple syrup. And if you get the COVID, you'll get hot like a Tim Hortons cup of coffee. It's a stereotypical Canadian ways to identify it.
Yeah, well, the problem is that nobody in Canada really understands the virus, so they are doing a special episode of Degrassi Junior High to explain its dangers. It's the only language they all speak.
Yeah, because anytime Thoreau says anything, they're just like, "What? Yeah, whatever you say, man. Are you getting gray? You're looking good."
All right, you guys, quick.
Did you just call him Thoreau?
I called him Thoreau. Yeah, no, it's Trudeau. I'm high as shit. You know what? You know what's fun about this version of Doug Loves Movies? I can just keep smoking weed throughout the episode.
It's true. It does make it easier to do that for sure. But yeah, don't trash Canada on my show, you guys. It's becoming my favorite country. don't fuck with my escape route, you guys. Let's start off with a game that the listeners love, but most of my guests suck at it. It's called Build a Title. Do you know this one, Dan?
No.
It sucks.
Do you say that, Amy, because you're not good at it or because you just think it sucks in general?
No, yeah, because it's hard. I think it's a good game.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that will be the fun today is how hard it is. It'll be fun for everybody.
If you say
The listeners love to hear you struggle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys would rather just put gags in your mouth and act like you've been tied up, we can do that route. They love a struggle. Okay. So the game is basically where I give you guys a title, and then you take turns. We'll go alphabetically, like from the start. So it's going to go Amy, then Dan, then Greg. You take turns adding another complete movie title to the initial title via the first and last words. So I've got an example for you. Purple Rain, Man Who Would Be King, Ralph, a dog. See the Alf from Ralph, Alpha Dog, Day After Noon, etc. That'd be like a pretty satisfactory one to arrive at, one that's that long. Just adding titles as we go. There's often contention about whether a title is appropriate or not because of how you pronounce any particular word. But we'll take those on as we come to them. Any questions?
Oh no, I'm prepared.
No,
to fail spectacularly.
And we take the A's and the the's away from the titles, because that'll really F it up. Okay, the title suggested to start us off, our starter title suggested by Stam Wow on the Twitter is Three Men and a Baby. So, Amy, you just need to start off with a movie that ends with the word three or begins with the word baby.
I feel like I'm going to really fuck Dan on this one. But
no, great.
Three Men and a Baby, boom.
Oh, okay.
Oh, mother of God. Okay.
That is a tough one.
Boom. So I have to start with a title that has boom in it?
All right, or... you have to go. It has a movie that starts with boom or ends with three, which I feel like there's a lot of possibilities there.
Oh, yeah.
Or starts with like OM or something, right? I mean, not easier, but...
Yeah, oom. So, I don't think there's
so anything. Could I do Omen? Could I do Omen 3?
Yeah, that's the thing is you can't, because it doesn't sound right to go boom, omen.
Boom, omen.
Boomen.
Boomen.
He calls it Omen. I've heard him say it.
Omen. Yeah, you guys are talking about Omen, right?
This is a bad Omen. I can say it all the time.
Guys. Oh, this bad Omen's making me feel weird. Dan, why does your voice drop like that? I don't know, man. It's such a scary movie, the Omen. Okay, how about if I can start, it has to start with three or end with three?
End with three. So that'd be extending or building the title into a longer title. So
Rambo
blank three. What?
Rambo 3.
Rambo 3. All right, Greg, it might be over before it even begins.
Jesus, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's a harsh one. Do you have anything to add to Three Men and a Baby Boom? Rambo, Three Men.
Yeah, and there's a ram to be had here. I don't think there's anything off of boom, unless we can go off the hard M. Is that possible?
Whoa, let's relax, Craig.
Yeah, dude, our country is not okay for that right now.
It's not a good time.
Like, could you go baby boom midway?
No, settle. She was right, Greg. She was cutting you off at the pass. Don't even
yeah,
try
all right,
that.
So it's got to be Ram.
You got to get something that ends in Ram.
Yeah, and the problem is that there's a lot of lambs, but there's no rams.
Right, also and the plural also, kind of messes you up.
And the plural is killing me, too, yeah.
Because you can't go 21 grams.
Oh.
right.
What about just R-A? Is that a possibility? No.
Ruh.
Oh, man, you know what? Greg, I really fucked you on this because I could have been anything.
Yeah.
It could have been it could have been a lot of things.
I could have been anything. That's fine. I'm just high enough that I want to watch Rambo 3.
No.
Remember that movie about Liberace called Beyond the Candelabra?
Yeah.
Yes.
Beyond the candelabra, Rambo.
Yeah, does that work?
I don't think it does.
I love it.
Ram. Yeah, I got nothing. I can't think of anything.
Candelabra, Rambo.
The singular plural thing is killing me. So I can't think of anything. Why don't a ram?
Why don't I change it?
What accent does that sound like? Candelabra.
Candelabra.
North Dakota.
Okay, so you can't think of anything, Greg?
No, I can't. I'm blanking on anything. It would be a ram.
That's a tough one. All right, go ahead.
I can change it to Karate Kid 3.
What? No, you don't have to change it. No, it's Amy's turn.
What? We're still doing this game?
Yeah, what? I didn't come here to not do this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just checking in with you to make sure you haven't thought of something.
No, I haven't thought of anything, Doug. There's got to be a boom of some kind.
Let's go to Dan. Boom. Dan, what do you think about this?
Hmm.
Was there a Rambo movie where the last word in the title was Rambo? Other than the one that was just called Rambo? Was there one called John Rambo?
There was one. There's Rambo Last Blood, which is number right. four. Rambo 3 is just called Rambo 3.
Yeah.
Rambo, the first Rambo's First Blood.
Yeah.
Rambo 2, Rambo 3, then there's Rambo, where...
Oh, fuck. I just realized one I could have done.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
I'll make you a devil's bargain. I'll say it if you let me back in.
Ooh.
No, I'll give you a Doug Benson bargain, and you could tell us it after the game's over, and I won't hang up on you.
I think that's a fair deal. I'll take that deal.
So, Dan, you don't have any ideas? I just Boom. Enjoyed hearing you say all the Rambo titles.
Oh my god, I have one.
All right.
Oh, well,
I don't have one.
We already passed you as well.
But I don't have one. So we're all dead.
The people anymore. That are out are the only ones that have ideas. All right, so I'm going to call it. I'm going to say Dan's the winner, but I'm dying to know what Greg and Amy have to add. So I'll start
Amy,
with you.
You go first.
Oh, yeah?
Amy, okay. Go first.
Okay, Amy.
Rambo, three men, and a baby boomerang.
Yes!
Oh, nice.
That would have been so good.
Great job.
Oh, that's a great job.
I still feel like a winner.
That is so good. I bet you people... listening thought of that too and we're going crazy.
I know.
Okay, so that's great. So then but Greg, what was yours?
There was a movie I'm pretty sure called Son of Rambo.
Yes.
That was like an indie movie.
Yes.
There was.
Yeah, and it was like a foreign film and it was about like two kids growing up. So that's the one that came to my mind. But Boomerang is so much better.
But isn't that
good pull.
But just what a turn of events that the winner of that game is the person who couldn't come up with one more. Between the three of you, the person who didn't come up with any more is the winner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little work.
That's how competitive you are, Dan, is you just won by sheer will.
Well, I white dude-ed this victory. What a white guy victory.
He barely tried, but we like him.
Yeah. But we got Betty wins regardless with zero effort. In fact, he fucked over everyone and he wins.
I like Son of Rambo, Three Men and a Baby Boomerang, though. I think that's a good title. It could actually almost, you know, fit on a marquee. Do you guys have anything for I know what I'd do with Boomerang. I go boomeranger management.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But what do you got for Sun? Does anybody have a movie that ends in Sun?
Jesus Rising Sun.
Rising Sun, yeah, the Michael Crichton.
Rising Sun.
Jesus' Sun.
Evil in the Sun.
Good Sun.
The Good Sun. Mm-hmm. Oh.
The Good Sun, yeah.
Empire of the Sun.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Because it's a different spelling.
Oh, I see. Now we're talking about spelling.
Yes.
No, this version is verbal, but if it was written down, then that changes it. You're right. It is. Then that wouldn't fit. But this is just all about sounds. And Dan, you did it. It's so exciting what happens to the winner in this game. And I'm going to tell you all about it after this break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. Man, that is the speediest commercials in the business right there. Dan Soder.
Hello.
it's like you just got here.
Thank you, Dan. I'm excited for this in-depth one-on-one interview.
That's how high you are. That was the energy I brought. You just said hello like I just picked up.
Oh my God, Amy, Greg, you guys are here? What's going on?
Since you won that first game, you get a special advantage in the game that determines our, you know, quote unquote winner today. That game is called Last Person Standing. Oh. We're going to take turns naming movies an actor or actress has been in. And, you know, if you can't think of one, you're out.
Oh. But
here's where you get an advantage, Dan. You get to go first.
Okay.
Then it's going to go to Greg and then to Amy and then to me, because I like to play in this game and spoil it for everybody. And your advantage, Dan, is you get to pick the name of the actor or actress that we are going to
play
today.
Oh,
yeah, wow. Greg is stunned. This is a massive setback for him. And Amy's over there going, doesn't matter who picks the name.
Well, if I could, you know, it's always been, as a, you know, veteran Doug Loves Movies player, it's always been my dream to be able to pick this category, because I would have gone, I always wanted to go with Yahoo Serious, the obscure Australian comedian who's only done like 2 films, and just kind of fuck over the competition. Don't pick that, Dan.
I won't. But
right, but you'd automatically, Greg, if he has done 2 films and some other fool knows the name of the other movie. If you went first, you'd say, you know, Young Einstein. Then the other person would say that other movie, and then there'd be no more movies. So that other person would win. Your selection would just hand the win to someone else.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it was a good plan, Doug. I mean, it was just a plan.
I think it's a fun plan, and that's why you've clung to it. That's why you've been clinging to it for years.
For years.
And you'd never stop to think about what a terrible idea it is. And I'm glad I finally got that out of your head. Dan,
guys, thank you. Second, I just hold on 1 second. I just kicked over a glass of water all over the floor. Uh-oh. Hold on.
A glass of water? What's going to happen?
It doesn't sound like an emergency.
I believe the technical term is a puddle.
Oh, no. I just spilled some water and my Roomba is headed its way.
Maybe there's a gremlin on the floor. They get pretty crazy.
I'm going to loot my own Roomba tonight and make a video of it. I'm just going to stomp the shit out of a Roomba and then set it on fire.
What do you think he's getting? A towel or a wad of paper towels? Okay.
Well, I thought he was moving to a new home.
Yeah, no, I left. I moved out, guys. I live in LA now. So let me know when you guys want me to come over. I'm doing this in the guest room of my girlfriend's apartment, and she's got like stuff on the floor. It's a hardwood floor, so I put my glass of water down, you know.
Oh.
Thirsty. And then my dumb foot just kicked it. So there we go.
That makes sense. Right. I feel like if it was your stuff, you would not have cared.
I know. I would have just kept going. You would have seen me. We would already be by the fourth movie by now.
By the way, Dan, you can't pick Corey Feldman because I did it last time.
Oh, that is a good pick. No,
it was a really good one because we were running late anyway.
Well, I got one that's going to really open it up because I've been watching.
I've been watching
movies, just whatever comes on the TV. That's what I've been doing this entire quarantine. You know, not seeking out good stuff.
You're watching commercials?
Yeah, but I'm watching I watch commercials. I watch everything. I'm a psycho. And I watched Grease recently. And, you know, never really, I don't think I've ever paid full attention to the movie. And it's just fucking nuts. They all look like they're 40.
Yeah.
It's a very fun watch to be.
I'm excited for all these new revelations about the movie from 1976.
It's crazy.
Because when it came out, everyone was like, Rizzo is 33.
Yeah. Also, the youngest actor in the movie or that looks the part is Lorenzo Lamas, who is the guy that dates Olivia.
Yeah, he's like the lunkhead guy.
Yeah, but then he becomes
the renegade. Yeah.
So I think for the actor that I'm choosing is the John Travolta.
Oof. Whoa, that does open it up.
That is a long list.
Yeah, you guys. This episode might turn into a two-parter.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't Pamela Adlon young in Grease, or is that Grease 2?
That's Grease 2.
Oh, love Grease 2. She's so cute.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Woo.
Yeah, that white gold.
Motorcycle. That's,
who's that guy?
That's straight up.
That's right. Cool Rider. That was a song, right, Amy? Cool Rider?
Yes. Yeah. It's very
good. Oh, yeah. I just remember that when I saw that movie, I was excited because I was a fan of the original Grease. And then I liked the bowling lane number early on. And then I couldn't tell you anything that happens for the rest of the movie, and I've seen it a few times.
You don't remember Michelle Pfeiffer humping a ladder?
No. I mean, if you showed me a picture of it, I could probably recognize it.
You gotta watch it.
It would be great if right now I was like, there's a Grease 2.
It really is weird. It's kind of like gone the way of, you know, people don't probably realize that there was a sequel of sorts to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a totally different movie. It's like the Valley of the Dolls sequel or like any of that shit where it's just a totally like a departure.
Yeah. They just
did it in its own way.
Yeah. It's just sort of like it just extended more because of the creators or whatever. And then, you know, of course, Tim Curry's not in it. And guess what? It's not as good.
No. Not as good.
Yeah. I hear that guy that was really bitter, the guy who made it, because, you know, he wanted to be the star of the first movie and it accidentally became somebody else.
Yeah.
The guy with the better part.
It was Richard O'Brien who I think like co-wrote the songs, and it ended up being the Hunchback, I think, instead of being Frankenfutter.
Yeah, what's his name? He's the...
We don't call him that anymore, but that's fine.
The differently angled person versus Frankenfutter.
Okay, so I could talk forever about that movie, but we have to talk about John Travolta, who was not involved in that in any way. So we'll start with you, Dan. Give me any John Travolta movie.
Look Who's Talking.
I can't right now. We're all on just audio only, but
also
good answer. Good answer.
An unplanned an unplanned pregnancy movie.
Greg?
Look Who's Talking 2. T-O-O.
I knew that was coming. That was obvious. Amy?
Well, I know what you think I should say, but I'm going to say Grease.
Oh, really? Then I might as well say it. Look Who's Talking Now.
Oh,
there it is.
And I'll say Staying Alive.
Oh, I appreciate how quickly you did that.
Yeah, I'll go one step backwards and say Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy is not afraid of sequels.
I'm going to go with Michael.
Ooh, love Michael.
Man.
So good.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
He's a troublemaking angel who smokes cigs.
Yeah, he likes sugar.
He's an angel that doesn't play by the rules.
He likes sugar.
Oh my God.
And dancing with ladies.
Yeah, look at him.
Trench coats.
Yeah, or overalls with no shirt.
If you go back and watch Michael and think he's a mass shooter instead of the archangel, it makes a lot of sense too.
Amy, this seems like a good time to mention that Michael is actually my god, cigarette smoking John Travolta.
Oh,
angel.
Perfect.
That's who I genuflect to.
Oh, you know what, you guys? I just had a premonition.
Are you going to tell us what it was?
Oh, that he was in a movie called Premonition.
Is Premonition the one where he thinks he's abducted? Never mind. I don't want to give away one. Son of a bitch. I just okay, did, but, Dan, I don't know the title. I'm going to go Pulp Fiction.
Oh, of course. Mm. But revived his career. It was one of two career revivals that he's had. We're waiting on the third one right now.
Oh, God.
That's right.
It could happen.
It could.
He was great in that OJ thing.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
That's right.
Well, that
was you or me, I forget.
Wait, oh no, it's Greg.
Oh,
okay.
Good call.
That's fine. Let's keep going backwards. We'll go back to his birth at some point. Let's go Carrie.
Oh.
Very good.
That is a good one. Now you, Amy.
Phenomenon.
That's what it is. Good job, Amy.
That movie's a lot better than you guys might remember.
No, I really liked it. And the ending's very sad.
But I watched it really high.
You know what, you guys?
I was waiting to see if this was going to be the case.
That's what I meant when I said Premonition.
Oh, I was wondering if what the
fuck Premonition was. Fucking Phenomenon is what I meant to say.
Does that mean you're out?
I'm out. I'm so out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Amy, you only have to get through these other two dudes.
Okay.
What do you got, Derek?
Face off.
Face nice. Slash off. Craig?
Broken Arrow.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Excellent pull.
It's my turn, right? Yeah, I think... It's called Battlefield Earth.
Damn, oh, yeah. I was holding on to. Dude, that's Xenu's favorite joint.
I'll tell you, Battlefield Earth is in Travolta's best known for on his IMDb page, and I'm sure
that's incredible.
It is by design because somehow that movie, for as awful as it is, it's still kind of keeps a life for itself, I guess, because it's, you know, made by a massive, weird religion.
Yeah, well, I just thought about it because I've been watching so much bad stuff that I was like, I should watch Battlefield Earth.
Isn't it kind of the only time he's in some crazy makeup like that, too?
Maybe,
yeah.
He definitely goes nuts with the wigs and stuff, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as far as overall, like, makeup, like, prosthetic makeup, I can't really think of a Travolta movie where he did that. But maybe we'll come up with one, because we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Who's up?
I'm up.
Dan.
I would say The Punisher.
Oh, yes. Back before Marvel knew how to make movies.
Oh, yeah.
The Punisher.
It's got some good parts, though, doesn't it, maybe?
The Thomas Jane, Kevin Nash fight scene in the kitchen is really cool with the Russian. It's a really cool fight scene.
Okay.
Dan reminds me that Kevin Nash, I think probably pound for pound, better better acting career than Hulk Hogan. Now that I think about
it. Oh, easily.
Have we said Get Shorty yet?
Oh,
no.
That's all I
Let's
had.
Go with Get Shorty.
Fuck you, yeah. Greg.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Amy.
Yes.
The characters in Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Did some of them survive at the end?
I don't really like, know what you're getting at, Doug.
Well, like if they made a sequel to Get Shorty.
Oh. Get
what shorter. Do you think they would call it? And get I don't and I don't shorter. Think that, don't think that I'm going to think any less of you. If you don't know the name of it, I'm not going to think you're a nerd.
Get Shorty too.
Or lame, but all you have to do is be what?
I don't know. I don't know what I have to be.
All right, you're out.
Oh, fuck.
But we tried. We tried to get you to the next
and
level.
And now I'm stuck on it. Because
I feel good about.
Now Dan is wondering what kind of weird-ass clues.
No, but I know that there's a giving sequel, her? And I just can't think of it. I couldn't think of.
But you want to try some other Travolta, Dan? It was your idea?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the Fred Durst directed one that just came out, and I can't remember the name of it. And I think it's like,
you know, the Fred Durst one.
It's called I don't know. But then I'm like, I get stuck on that, and then I'm like, well, there's way more John Travolta movies out there.
There's a lot.
Such as the movie where he is in
a movie.
A movie that
he's all up there on the big screen doing stuff.
Is about
sometimes he's inside, sometimes he's outside.
What's the one with him in where he's Russian? The Hunter? Damn it.
What?
I don't know. Fuck. I can't think of one. I'm blocked.
It's hard.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You got one, Greg?
Yeah, I'll go. I mean,
wait, I'm not asking for it. Just putting applying one. Pressure on Dan.
I can't think of one. Oh. I'm out.
I have many.
Well, I'll just listen to you.
I'm sorry. We'll go with primary colors.
Primary colors. God damn it.
That's right.
Now let me ask Amy and Dan a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you now thought of another one, even though you're out?
Yes. And I'm so mad.
All right, Amy. What one do you have, Amy?
Poison Rose.
What is that?
It's a streaming exclusive with Morgan Freeman. It is so unbelievably bad. We watched it with my mom, and I mean, it was just a real pile of horse shit. And I want to watch it again.
Doug, as a sidebar, how have you handled the streaming films? Because I know being in the theaters is always sort of a big thing for the games.
How have I handled what?
The increase in like direct to streaming movies, because you couldn't do like cable movies for a long time, could you, on the show?
Oh well, that's always been like a weird area. I like to think of if a movie is like made for television, with commercial breaks and all that nonsense, then I don't think it counts, like Brian's Song or something. But you know, once Netflix and everybody start, you know, once every place is making their own movies, I can't really judge them for not playing in theaters. Plus, I'm seeing a lot of them in theaters, like a lot of Amazon movies. You know, I'll see it at a festival somewhere, and then it'll come out on Amazon. And so I can't not call Britney Runs a Marathon a movie just because it opened on Amazon. Although I think that one did play in some theaters.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Typical.
But you know what I mean? There's examples now, especially with the pandemic, of movies that'll just might not ever get a theatrical release, but I'll still call them movies if that's what they were meant to be, you know. All right, so I thought of a shit ton of them, of course. One that I thought was going to come up when we were talking about bad Travolta is he starred in that Gaudi movie.
Oh my God, I saw that in theaters. I saw that in theaters with Dan St. Germain and Mike Lawrence. That's one of the hardest I've ever laughed in my life is the opening scene. I swear to God, the opening scene is like a shot of everything that he did. And then it's just him standing at either the Brooklyn or the Queensboro Bridge. And he turns around and he goes, "My name's John Gotti. This is my city, New York City." And everyone in the theater legitimately laughed like it was a comedy.
Oh my God. That would be fun to see with an audience.
Damn it, I'm so mad. I'm so mad because I got blocked and there's so many. What was the name of the sequel to Get Shorty?
Oh, Be Cool.
Be Cool. Be Cool,
God damn it. I think we did a good job at hitting his watchable films, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in some stinkies. He did that romance with Lily Tomlin called Moment to Moment. Another sneaky way to think of titles is just, you know, think of people he's been paired up with and probably worked with more than once, because everybody says he's a real nice guy. He and Olivia Newton-John were in a movie called, what was it? Something about being two of a kind.
What?
No.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, it was, you know, an attempt to recapture the Grease magic with those two. But you know what? Let's take all the music out and all the singing and the dancing. Let's just leave it in dumb dialogue and thinly written characters. and also let's put in a heaven element. Like there's like angels played by like Charles Durning and other weirdos that like look down on what's happening. It's, oh my God, it's so bad.
It sounds high concept.
Yeah. They should have just put Travolta in Xanadu and been done with it. What else have we missed?
Oh, Hairspray.
Yes.
Hairspray.
Prosthetic makeup.
Yeah.
Speaking of prosthetics, he was like under a ton of it in Hairspray.
Yeah.
And then he gets into this thing where he starts to make kind of the same movie in like consecutive years or within range. Like there was the Old Dogs, Wild Hogs thing. Wasn't he in both of those?
Yeah, he was in Wild Hogs.
Right, and then he did a movie called I want to say he did it, General's Daughter, I think, and then he had another lawyer movie that was around that same time too.
I wish he was in Wild Dogs and Old Hogs.
Wild Dogs, Old Hogs. Old Hogs.
My favorite barbecue place. I really miss it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's true. What else? Do you have any other fun pair ups?
I think that was about it.
What was that movie from the guy who did Taken that he was in? From Russia to Paris, or from Paris to from Paris with Love?
From Paris with Love. I have
it
to.
It sounds about right.
What is the Russian one? I'm looking it up. I'm warning you guys.
Uh-oh. Because
I need to know what that one where he was the Russian, he was the hunter, and they drank Jägermeister, and he's like, this is thing I have to do.
It's not Gorky Park. It's not Russia House. Those are the only Russian movies I know. Oh, wait, and what was the one with?
By the way, Poison Rose. Good call.
White Knights.
Really Poison watch. Rose.
He has so many that you're like, dude, you made a lot of movies that no one knew. Killing Season.
He's got a lot of straight to, but also he's the voice of Bolt in the animated movie.
Oh yeah. And,
he did
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. I saw
that. He did that remake.
Also about Poison Rose, Brendan Fraser's in it and he looks like he's already dead. It's the worst progression I've ever seen an actor make.
Can I tell you guys one that's going to make you angry the second I say it?
Yes.
Swordfish.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Oh, shit.
That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
A real
that movie. That movie is eminently rewatchable for a number of reasons. And also, one of the first movies I can remember that starts out with a giant, remember that giant explosion at the beginning of that movie? Like, it's like the best action thing in the entire movie happens in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think he was also in a movie about, like, he was a professor at a school. The movie was more about the kids. I think it was called Sing.
Hmm.
No idea.
I'm pretty sure. in one of his lulls, like it was before before Pulp Fiction, or
what was it called? Shout!
Look Who's Talking. Oh, mate, no. I think it was
music, yeah, a new music teacher in 1955, West Texas, home to Wayward Boys, brings new vision and hope for many of the interned boys.
That was called Shout.
Yeah, you guys got to sing. It's with Heather Graham. You guys, his life is tough, but maybe everything will be better.
What?
You guys,
gentlemen, Adele Dazeem.
This is Elzine. Please go see my movie, The Valley of Violence.
So you just brought him up. You just suggested him. You didn't feel strong about it. You just wanted to do the impression.
That's it, dude. That's it. I long conned you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it. I think that's so great. So, yes, congratulations to Greg Wyshynski for pulling that one out.
Congratulations, Greg.
Do you have anything?
Thank you. No, thank you. Yeah, it's good.
Did you still have more? Did you still have more, Travolta?
The only other one I did do the classic write down a few that come to mind tactic, and the only one left on this little list I made was Domestic Disturbance, where he plays.
Oh yeah.
He's the bad guy in it, but is he a cop in it, or is he like a bad neighbor? I forget. There's two kinds of those movies, and I forget which one it was in that movie.
There was also Lakeview Terrace.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking. I always get those two confused, but I know that he's sort of the antagonist in that movie.
Yeah, I think Domestic Disturbance is the one he was in. I also thought of a Western he was in that I like a great deal called... what's it called? Now I lost it. In a Valley of Violence.
Ooh.
Never. I saw that one. Yeah. I saw that one listed and never heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it's Ethan Hawke is like the hero, and he's got an adorable dog, and they just want to hang out in the West, and he comes afoul of John Travolta's small town, I'm talking like five buildings. He's the sheriff, and Ethan Hawke gets in trouble, and it goes from there. But it's really, I really like it a lot, if you want to check that out.
Okay.
In a Valley of Violence. But, Greg Wyshynski's our official winner today, and, doesn't really win anything. But
damn.
Do you have, something you'd like to promote, Greg?
Sure. So I do a podcast called Puck Soup, which is about hockey and pop culture. And it comes out every week, and you can find it on iTunes. But we also have a Patreon, which you can find if you just look up Puck Soup Patreon, where we do other podcasts, including one that I do with my wife Ruby and our friend Ryan called Mise en Pod, a Top Chef podcast that we started this season because we all love Top Chef, and with no sports, it's the closest thing that we could find.
My wife.
There it is.
Oh yeah, I love Top Chef. Team Melissa, baby.
Oh man, yeah, we did a draft before the season, and I've got Kevin and Gregory.
Oh, that's
my top picks. So we'll see how it goes.
When you dorks are sick of the kitchen, come see me on MTV. I'm watching The Challenge.
Oh man,
damn.
Vito has always told me to watch that show because I like Big Brother, but I just can't.
It
feels like, this is embarrassing, but it feels like too young, like there's a lot of flashing lights and shit.
Amy, that's exactly how I felt, where I was like, I'm not going to the roller rink. I'm 36. And then my girlfriend was like, no, there's people that you still know from when you watched it in 2005. And I'm like, there's no way. And there are, and they're all my age. So it's like this weird experiment in reality TV where you see all these people and you're like, they're old now, like me.
All right. Oh, now, okay, now I'll do it.
But then there are young, hot people, and they're just idiots. So it's the best of all worlds.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Sorry about the TV talk, Doug.
Oh no, I love it. I definitely have, I've logged some time with the with Top Chef and The Challenge, but I haven't really you know, checked in with them lately, so I might have to now after this. I've been looking for, you know, movie recommendations, but real quick though, also, Amy, what do you want to plug besides the Who's Your God podcast?
Oh, that's pretty much it. Just follow me on Twitter at Amy Miller, Instagram, Amy Miller Comedy, if you want to see me making old racists mad all the time. I have also a Patreon for my podcast, Who's Your God? And if you go on my website, you can buy an Amy Miller pillowcase. And I will personally mail it to you with a special note.
Oh, that's so nice.
And a copy of a John Travolta film of my choice.
Dan Soder, of course, is the star of Billions on Showtime.
Yeah, the star. I'm front and center. You could see me once an episode for a couple minutes.
You're my mom's favorite.
Yo, I win in the hearts and minds of all my friends' parents. I'm finally doing it. They hated me as a teenager, loving me as a fake investment banker.
Oh man, that's so sweet. Yeah. And there's a new season starting soon that's already in the can.
No, we are airing, I think we're airing episode 4 tonight, and there's 3 more that we filmed. We had to stop production after episode 7, so there's still 5 more to go in the season.
Damn.
Well, that's, for both fans of the show and for your own personal sake, it's nice to know that that's going to, you know, pick up again at some point.
Yeah, definitely. It's, it sucks because, like, you know, I feel like this season, the end of the season is going to be massive. So it would have been cool for people to see it. But, you know, it's nice to know that eventually someone has to hire me. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're just like, we can do a COVID rewrite. Mafia got taken out because he went to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, like, is every show that's contemporary going to have references to or even scenes of, pandemic?
I mean, I don't know, because Billions also does a great job with dialogue. Brian Koppelman and David Levine do an awesome job writing it, but it's like thick with references. So I can't imagine going forward they can do it without referencing a massive pandemic where they're like, you have me uncovered like a mask in a room full of people with COVID-19. Like, you can't just, you're going to have to say something about it. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what shows do and movies, you know?
All right.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that because it's like escapism versus realism, right? Like, do you want, like, a show like Billions, do you want to just kind of exist on that path where we weren't all shut down for, you know, months? Or do you want it to incorporate? I mean, it's a show that incorporates so much from reality anyway, right? So, like, I guess you have to touch on it at some point, especially because it impacted the economy the way it did.
Nobody knows the answer, Greg. We're all trying to write shit.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's impossible. Like, Amy, it's just me. It's just me zooming with my agent again. Where I go, okay, here's the idea. It's about
2009.
No one knows it's happening. I only know 2002. Can we please write something for 2002?
I just wanted to say that my date at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis, one of my favorite clubs, will happen. It was supposed to be, you know, in the middle of summer, but that seems a little too soon at this point. So I'm hoping it'll happen in the September, October range, you know, if we get these things together. How do you guys feel about, you know, Amy and Dan, where are you at with flying in planes? Are you going to just try to not do that for a while? Or?
Well, I don't know. I think I have a gig coming up in a couple weeks, like late June.
Where's that at?
Might be popping up at the St. Louis Helium.
Well, Dan and I are booked together in July, too.
Are you at Zany's, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
In Nashville.
Okay, so that's like, you could fly direct there, right?
Yeah, I don't know, like, on the tail end of, like, getting back, you know, when everything was starting, I didn't love flying, but my plane was so empty that I was like, I mean, somebody's spit is going to have to jump, like, 4 rows to get in my mouth, you know?
Yeah, and I heard recently, because I was always worried about all the recycled air in a plane, but I heard that, you know, the modern planes, that they, all the air is going into some sort of filter. So actually that is kind of, air-wise, it's reasonably safe. You just don't want to be
touching surfaces that somebody has sneezed or coughed on.
And your face is covered. Oh, yeah, I wiped down, like, my whole tray with Clorox. And, I mean, I don't feel good about it, but I also really want to do stand-up, so it's kind of tough.
That's a perfect way to say it. I want to get the I'm going to get the test for the antibodies and see if I have the antibodies, because I feel like if I have the antibodies, I'll feel more comfortable traveling, staying covered up and safe.
And then what do they do? Put the audience under like a sneeze guard or something? Like, or
yeah, it's like Subway.
Or will we have to wear masks?
There's already clubs open, and they just space everybody out. You can only sit directly with like people from your household. I don't know how they try to prove it with your driver's license. This is like two clubs, by the way, like, and it's very irresponsible. But we won't say which ones they are because I want to work everywhere.
Yay, being a comedian. It's also a business.
And then I think they keep the first couple rows empty so that, and then the host like wipes down the mic. Although, I don't know. I mean, if I was headlining, certainly I would bring my own. I think
I have my own that I've been using for podcasts. Guess who's coming on the road with me? Plug it in. I name her like BB King. My microphone is Melinda.
By the way, no house music. I'll just sing that song. Just like
yeah, I'm gonna sing. I go plug in Melinda from the back of the stage. I'll play myself on.
I'm just gonna. I'm going to go mic-less. I'm just going to yell.
Do it.
Just going to yell the whole act.
The diaphragm comedy. Just
when I'm featuring Dan, I'm going to do a lot of jokes about sucking dick, but with the microphone fully down my throat.
Well, don't worry, because Melinda will be in her platinum case in the green room with me.
I'm going to lick the mic stand, too.
Yeah. I go, and then halfway through a joke, I go, son of a bitch, she licked that. I just felt it. I just felt it. It's wet. It's fucking wet.
Wet was something.
Yeah.
That's the thing about stand-up comedians is that, like, there's going to be somebody that thinks it's funny to, you know, spit on the microphone right before the next guy.
Yeah. And guess what? It was never funny.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
What's the deal with, are you going to go to Skankfest, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't care about killing any of those people. I don't care about, if you come see me at a comedy club, I don't care about killing you. It's your choice. I
could see Luis Gomez like charging people $10 a head for him to spit in their mouth.
Dude, that'll be awesome. Yeah. If Luis is, he'll sell it as the, he's got antibodies. So if he can spit in their mouth. And then he'll be laughing his way into a new Nissan Altima because Nissan knows that viruses are spreading, but so is savings.
In these troubled times.
In these troubled times.
It's moving.
Oh my God, there's this one.
Those are people I care about.
Is what?
Is Moon Tower.
Yeah, Moon Tower is weird because that's the week before. I don't know if Moon Tower happens, that's going to be fucking.
Oh, they do have a new date for Moon Tower?
Yeah. September 17th through the 19th.
Oh, okay. That'll be that's another one that'll be really interesting to see if they can pull that off, if it's not too soon. The biggest the problem is that, like, you know, people want to be cautious, but at the same time you can't have a major event like, you know, okay, let's go ahead and do it 2 weeks from now. You know, it has to be planned, and you can't really plan for, you know, more waves of the virus or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, especially since in the last 2 days in every major city, thousands of people have been on top of each other, you know?
Yeah, there's so much sex going on during this.
Big orgies last night in downtown.
Oh, my God. I heard that people were just tearing it up all over town.
I'm hoping the fire, just, you know, having fire
that burned it off,
cancels out the virus.
The germs couldn't handle all the fire.
There you go.
That's all people are trying to do is just set the virus on fire.
Yeah, they're just trying to get it. They're like, guys, let's get this all together. We can burn this off.
I heard the virus is on a lot of products available in stores, and that heroes are going in and taking all those products off to a secluded, isolated location.
Yeah, the Nikes really soak up the virus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be great if there was some really awesome thing like that? But there isn't. That's how I end the show. This is the most depressing ending.
When are you doing shows next, Doug? Do you have live dates coming up?
I do. I have July 22nd at the American Comedy Company in San Diego. That was supposed to be like a Doug Loves Movies during Comic-Con. Of course, Comic-Con is canceled. So I swapped that over to a stand-up show. I hope that could work. And then what do I have after that? You know, it's in my case, it's like the clubs are all saying, hey, we don't want to open yet, or let's do this down the road. And so I'm just sort of, I just don't know what to do as far as taking dates. You know, I keep trying to, I want to make good on every date that I already had on the calendar.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard. I want to decide everything now, but it's the kind of thing where every week you wait, there's more information, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
Isn't that right, Greg?
Yeah, no, I was actually just thinking, you know, that I'm usually flying all over the country at this point in the year too, covering the playoffs. And they did ask the commissioner of the NHL, you know, when they start playing games again, what the deal with the media is, can we come cover the games? And his response, if you read between the lines, was, and I'm paraphrasing, who the fuck cares about you guys right now? Yeah. So I have no idea if I'm going to be plane bound or whatever. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But I have no idea if I'm going to be hopping on planes or what anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the, you know, I think there's so many jobs where people are going to be doing them at home because, you know, people are finding out that so many jobs don't need to be, you know, you don't have to come into some space 5 days a week or whatever it is. And also just the, you know, a lot of those jobs are just going to go away completely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's like, you know, the and then it becomes a situation, and this is actually something that's going on. I think it's in, it's one of those Scandinavian countries, but there's like a thing going on in their legal system, finding out if corporations should pay part of or all of your rent if they're forcing you to work at home instead of coming to an office, which will be an interesting issue over here in the States for sure.
That's really interesting because to me, like, it's such a win to get to work at home that then you're going to go ahead and press your luck and say that you want more than that.
Yeah, but they're also not paying for office space, which is wildly expensive.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely saving them money, but I just love the idea of not having to go into work.
For sure. I mean, I wish I could go into work.
I do too. I do too, but our work is so, you know, it's so social, and that's a lot of what we're missing. And then, you know, the shows you do on the internet, stand-up shows on the internet, like, it's kind of a fun thing to do in the meantime, but it just doesn't, and comedy is like one of the things that really needs the audience, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I like the ones where they do let the sounds of laughter in, you know? I like those over the, even though the laughter sounds weird.
Those are better. It's weird when someone forgets their mic is on and then starts like making a sandwich and just talking.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you got to do a lot of mic policing when you invite people in. But I also just feel like it's the same with like this podcast, like the listeners and each of us, we all know when funny things are happening because we're all laughing at each other. You know, I think stand up is such a weird, unless you're a comic that's just constantly cracking yourself up, it's just weird that there's no laughter. Like, you need somebody to be laughing. Like, that's the other thing I say to comics now that want to do it on the internet, is just, you know, have a friend in the room that's off camera, but like, just, you know, kind of talk to them, you know?
Yeah.
So you have some, so you're delivering to somebody, like, not just to a void.
Yeah.
It's weird. Especially, but then you don't want to...
You don't want to what?
You don't want to go back early, headline a club, and then become like a super event, you know? Like 30 people at the Dan Soder show.
Yeah, well, get ready. To be honest. Get ready, Amy. It's going to be a barn burner.
But if either of you guys, I mean, if Amy or Dan, you know, your first headliner show is going to be a super event.
Oh,
I mean, there's
nice.
Just no, there's no getting around that. But yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, why are they putting us in a position? By they, I mean, you know, the virus, that group of people that got together. Why are they making us have to, you know, do shows for, you know, like all we do is hope for sellouts our entire careers, and now we want to have a smaller audience.
Well, and hope that they don't laugh with their mouths open.
The goal is to just get very docile people who enjoy turning away their faces from the stage. Everyone should face away from the comedian.
Yeah. If you laugh, if you laugh, please hold it in. Don't acknowledge it.
All right. We all got to go. We all got such busy lives right now. Thank you to Amy Miller, Dan Soder, and Greg Wyshynski, the three best guests a podcast host could ask for. And be safe out there and have as much fun as you can. And I'm closing every episode with a closing line from a motion picture. And I think people might recognize this one. As always, what a day. What a motherfucking day.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in